Welcome to the show, Digital Dan, aka DigiDan. How are you doing?
Super, really good, man.
Good to have you on the show. I like the new name, DigiDan.
Yeah, I guess you just kind of keep going with it, and then all of a sudden it goes Digi or Double D. I mean, I've gotten a few names.
Whatever works, right?
Yeah. I'm honored to be here, to be honest with you.
It's really nice to have you on the show. Before we start off, I just need to tell you what I know. You've been presented to me as a great guy to chat with, a great up-and-coming talent in business. So before I even go into it, why did you think that person told me that about you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess what I'm trying to do lately, and I've been putting myself out there a little bit more as far as on the education side of it with rapping, really found myself trying to hire a good team. And we've been just keep replacing people and educating people and then finding out that this isn't the right fit for them in the industry. So what I've been backing up and I'm like, man, how do you really figure out the right team member? So what it is like, we want to educate these younger people, inspire the younger youth groups per se, and get them fired up for the industry. And then hopefully eventually they'll have that craft level that they share, like all of us intermediate and advanced installers have, and eventually have that hiring opportunity for us to hire them. So I guess I'm not 100% sure why that person said what he did, but I appreciate him or her. And I guess that's, I've been working close with some of the 3M stuff and also with IBOW, and we're kind of excited because there's a lot of new things coming out as the vinyl industry is. It's just a great place to be in as far as the industry goes. So I'm super pumped. I got a lot of things going on as far as some things that are going to the youth and then also some things that are going for our business as well. So I got a lot of energy. I almost feel like a knifeless Phil Jr. sometimes.
It's a good role model.
Yeah, so he's a pretty good dude.
Before we get into all of that good stuff, give us a little rundown on who Dan is.
Yeah, so I kind of fell into this industry by luck or by chance, I guess you could say. I used to just do design work strictly, like branding and ad work and catalog designing. And then all of a sudden, a local shop, out of 40 people, I was just kind of whimming it, did a logo design for this company and said, hey, if you like my work, you know, look at my application and proceed to hire me if you'd like. And for 2 weeks, actually, to be honest, I hated vinyl. It was like the worst thing ever. To cut it out and put wrinkles, it was just like, man, this isn't for me. I like to design it, but this installing stuff is like way tougher. Anyway, about 2 weeks it took where I was about ready to quit and my boss was pretty much going to fire me. And something just clicked where the plotter was working finally for me. The edge was working finally for me and all these other little older components that I'm like, man, this is kind of actually fun to see the brand develop and going on to this application. So I really just kind of fell in love with that side of it. And I'll never forget, I guess the one banner I did by myself was a 3x20, which isn't huge by any means, but for one person, you know, this was 2002. I was just all pumped. I was like, hey, you know, boss man, how do you like it? He's like, that looks pretty good, except for, you know, what's up with this furniture sale, you know, instead of a furniture sale. So I definitely learned a little bit more as far as spell check and stuff like that too. But it's just, again, you just keep growing it and the jabs of life, you know, as far as the vinyl go. I feel like vinyl really wants to put you down as much as you let it. You can't fear that vinyl, otherwise it just doesn't stick or just want to, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's like dogs, don't show fear.
Yeah, it's weird how vinyl can actually call you out if you fear it.
But wait, so that means that you've been going at it for about 16 years, right?
Yeah, yep. So then, like, from the backside of it, my boss started seeing that this large format opportunity came around, and then once that started coming around, the game got even more fun, right? You know, like the commercial outlets and everything that you can do with large format was insanely, to be honest, it was almost like easy, because when you're doing one color stuff for a long time and paneling and all that stuff, it was just kind of like, okay, this is okay. But now that this print game came on point and we could do it locally in shop, it was just another passion that I just fell in love with. So even like clipping mask, I feel is a cop out sometimes, like, oh, I get this quick clipping mask, this and hide it and then print it. But, you know, it's definitely a need nowadays in the industry. So, but then right after that, got an opportunity, my other, I kind of had a partnership, at a college. I actually developed this company called Digital Ink Design and Graphics, and Digital Ink was for mainly supposed to be for a website base. That's kind of what I wanted to get into, but that was back when like Flash was just starting and all this other, people didn't even know how to do websites back then anyway. So I was kind of in a rut with that one. So what happened was we kind of formed heads together and we started a company called Digital Ink Design and Graphics. And I had co-owned that for about seven and a half years. And that's where Digital Dan kind of came from.
Were you serving the customers by sending stickers, or what need were you supposed to cover?
So we actually did a lot of like snowmobile graphics and trailer graphics and commercial work. So the rap game for us really wasn't a strong like color change or anything like that, but a lot of design and customizing for that side of it. So the snowmobile industry is a pretty niche industry, especially for I call it up north. So you know, we're up north. That's kind of where the snowmobile industry had been. But yeah, we followed with some of these big racers and we got into some of these bigger clients and it just kind of fell in a loop with where we should be. And so technically my business partner was doing a lot of snowmobile stuff and I was actually more into the commercial side of it, because I thought, well, yeah, you got a $20,000 snowmobile. Well, how'd you get that? Did you own your own business? What kind of company you got? I'd like to see your brand. And then kind of, then all of a sudden they kind of spin into some things like that. And one of the person that inspired me really about how you can connect your dots from your media to print media was Dan Antonelli's. I mean, Signcraft was just a great staple for me. So I saw kind of how he did the logo branding, business cards and print media, and then tied it into the vehicle side of it. So I really wanted to kind of gap those things as well, because it just felt right to have the client be in one spot. So that's kind of where we, my company, we're trying to trend with, you know, you follow the greatness, really. You hang out with good people and hopefully some of that rubs off on you is kind of what I think. But
copy paste,
not quite that bad, but yeah, I mean, he's getting ripped off from what I hear, you know. Dan Antonelli's designs has been just one of those staples for the industry, so it's pretty sweet to see that. But yeah, I'm just trying to follow even such as yourself. We just quickly talked, but you got 12 people under you, I shouldn't say under you, helping you and as a team. But that's just what you almost need nowadays for this element of the industry, which is awesome.
Thank you.
I commend you for that.
One tries to deliver, and we're a team, and we try to deliver good stuff out there.
And that's just it too. How would you see to hire somebody? Do you go to the youth or do you go to experience?
Well,
how do you see that?
I know from what I've done of a little bit digging that you do work a lot of, you're an instructor. So I guess you would have another point of view, or maybe a more deep point of view than I have. But from what has worked for us, actually, the best thing is actually to teach someone, because you get, if you have the right, I wouldn't call it material, but if you have the attitude for it and the person wants to learn, they can come extremely far. And if you're willing to put in the time and effort to teach that person how to rap, the possibilities are endless.
I agree 100%. I guess that's kind of where we're at too. And that's where I see this younger industry coming in. And I hear a lot of this whole YouTube certified, which I love and I laugh about that, but it isn't that. It's those things should inspire a person to a point where they get their hands dirty and then hopefully go into a rap shop or even what we're trying to develop. I mean, the IBOW, we got a team here where we're really trying to get those universities and other things in place here so we can get the right processes and the right steps. I mean, everyone, from what I know, you have to screw up before you go like further ahead. So unfortunately, that it all depends on how you look at it. I think even Justin Pate had said that earlier, is like, they're not failures at all. They're those footsteps to make your foundation get better. And not exactly those words, but I know that he's such an inspiration for the whole industry, that that's kind of the right mindset a person should have. If you screw up, don't blow up and don't get all angry about it. Just let's slow down, either take a break or go back to it and see how you can attack it differently. So I guess I'm really trying to inspire the younger people too, just to try to get involved with the industry, because eventually, to be honest, I want to hire them. So as long as, like you said earlier, but they have to have that push, that drive too, to be able to train them. And I think training them is the best steps for employment.
Let me take a wild guess. Since you started out back in 2002, there wasn't that many possibilities to get instructors or go into classes. There wasn't that much info out there, right? I mean, not like it is today.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't even see a book out there how to do stuff. It was very, no.
So that means that you had to go and fuck it up yourself.
yeah, with a little beep there for sure. yeah, I definitely had to screw it up all the time. And that's where, again, where that 2 week gaps was, I was either going to quit or get fired, because that's an unfortunate thing. But also though, it encourages a person, just like boxing, man, if you get knocked down, that's up to you if you really want to get back up. So I guess I've learned over the time that it's the challenges that make it almost more fun sometimes.
It's like that one liner. It's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up.
Correct.
And you choose to learn from them, right? You don't want to be put in the same position again.
Yeah. My grandpa used to say too, they can't hit you when you're down, but but then again, how far do you want to go down for that? So, but no, I think a person should have that mindset though, for sure, that, you know, things are going to happen. I mean, even today there were some things that we had to reprint and whatever. And I could see it in the guy's eyes. Like he's just mad. But I used to be in that side of it too, where I get mad at it, but I'm like, hey man, just take a break if you want, or come back to it. But the quality has to be first. So if you're doing it mad, just like golf, you're not going to be able to hit that ball. So we really got to kind of focus and try to learn from each other and go, hey man, just, I see that you're struggling here. Let's team up on this one. So
if we try to go back from where we were with the snowmobiles and the van and all of that, how did you go from the digital printing side of it all to wrapping? What made you take that leap?
Well, actually got a chance and opportunity to work with one of our local dealerships here in town, and they're one of the bigger dealerships. And so they were always kind of pushing us to do inventive things and create things. So then it goes on to the personal side, not the commercial side. And, oh man, the one fusion I did, I matte blacked it out on the 1080. It took me like 22 hours. It was not good. Like it's destroyed my whole day, really. but my shop was only like 55 degrees or so. It was in the wintertime. And I learned really kind of the basics of what you need and what you should have on that one for sure. My business partner said, we'll never do that again. Which I agreed at the time, cause I was like drained out. But then eventually what happened was I saw my business partner, we were only like five or six people in. So we had a short team, small team, and we were just getting swamped. And so what happened was I kind of got myself burnt out, where I'm like, okay, I'm working a little too hard. You know, 80-hour weeks are pretty fluent and easy. Mm-hmm. So this dealership actually kind of came to me and said, hey, what would be an opportunity for you to work over here? And I'm like, well, what do you got? And the first thing they wanted me to do is get 3M preferred. So before I even got hired, this opportunity came, and they're like, hey, and by the way, would you like to go to SEMA with us too? And I'm like, geez, wow. What's going on? It's like a cloud just went like to sun. It was crazy. I'm like, yeah, this sounds like a great opportunity. So what happened was then I got hired to set up the shop, set up all the material, set up all the media, got to go to 3M training right away. And the guy that was with me, they wanted to be 3M preferred as well. Well, the only thing he put on was a pinstripe. So it was kind of one of those things where you might need a little more practice than that, which is good to see that 3M training doesn't just let everyone through. You definitely have to have some skill set and skill level on your squeegee and all on your blade and everything like that. So that was a sweet opportunity. So I got 3M preferred. I went to SEMA that year, 2014 or 15. And Knifeless Phil was there throwing string in front of me. At the time, it was under still just Knifeless. So 3M wasn't owning Knifeless at all.
Yeah, I remember that.
So it was still kind of a, so it was kind of a new thing for us. And I'm like, well, no, I can just trim it quick. And he's like, no. And he was so adamant of throwing this stuff in front of me. I'm like, man, I don't know what this guy is up to, but get off me, you know?
Did you meet him with Gary or alone?
I think Gary might have been there, but this is when we were wrapping some Camaros at SEMA. So we were just doing some demos with 1080. And so that's when I kind of first met him. I don't know if he remembers me, but I think he was just so on fire, though. It was cool to see him jump around on how the string can kind of came about. And then, so that was kind of a cool thing to see, though, that 3M is actually taking care of these installers and putting them in these situations. So then we can go in front of the crowd or the industry. And that really inspired me too. So then what I took from that SEMA was, why don't I wrap inside the dealerships in front of people? And which we did, we started wrapping in front of people. So then that brought a more of awareness in our location to either get a commercial wrap or just do some color change a little bit. We don't do a ton of color change. I think it's just the region we are in, kind of, you know, the up north. Mm. But it's still, it inspires people that we have that opportunity to do that for their vehicle.
So wait, let me just clarify. You are wrapping in dealerships so that everyone can see what you're doing.
Yep.
So that if someone happens to come by just to see a new car or whatever it is, they're seeing you wrap in the shop.
Correct.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that kind of, I mean, we don't do that a ton right now because we're kind of manufacturing the graphics and designing them in the back here and trying to put the commercial plate kind of together. So we just hired 3 more people. We needed one more designer, but yeah, so that's still in focus plan. I encourage people to get so comfortable they can rap in front of anybody for the most part.
I got to ask you this then. There's a lot of pros and there's a lot of cons with doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you learn from it?
Well, what I learned is you can't quite focus on your project. So you got to maybe make that a timely thing or just if it's not. So if there's no deadline means to it, like there's not, it's just kind of a leisure wrap, then you should easily be able right. to do that. But if it's something that's on a deadline focus or people are actually needing it, then you'd probably want to put that back in your shop and make sure that there's no distractions. So it has full potential.
Right.
But this is mostly to inspire. So this is the coolest part. I'm totally not bragging, but so we have 5 car dealerships that per se own us and we own them. So we get to go to the car dealerships and start putting the graphics on them, or we preload them, we call them preloading them with either chrome deletes or just little accents. And then we just kind of see if they like them or if they sell. So at first though, we were wrapping full on color change and then we're seeing if they could sell. Well, now we're backing it up a little bit because that's a $3,000 to $5,000 investment right off their plate that they have to pay for. So it's almost like forcing them to pay for that color and stuff. So we step back a little bit on that, not as aggressive, but we're still doing it in the smaller stages and then showcasing what vinyl graphics can do for their vehicle.
Cool. Got it. That's a smart way to go about it.
Well, it's kind of diversifying because it's funny to see all these black, all these white or whatever it might be colors like in there in a row. And then you put one that's got just a little bit different in it and they're going to buy that one, even if it's $500 to $800 more. So there's kind of a sweet spot we found out with some of the models and makes for the vehicles. Hondas are going to be like, you got to kind of keep those clean looking. You can't too wild for us. So we're doing more chrome deletes for just Hondas. Some of the Fords, we're just kind of keeping like just for sure the trucks, we'll do some accents and stuff like that for it. but I love to be able to mix up the combinations for them. And then we got this kind of fun thing. I've been doing some templating and stuff like that too. So doing the overlays with clear on the emblems, that's been a really good positive kind of strength for how to do like changing out emblem colors.
Oh, that's sweet. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that 3M wrappable clear film has been kind of a hot spot for us as far as trying to get not necessarily just color match, but just more of a factory stock looking graphic.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, Dan. You have two different positions at the moment, right? You are an instructor, but you're also a business owner.
Yeah, I mean, the instructor thing's kind of a sideline thing, which I just feel like it's evolving no matter what. Even if I stay here and do what I do, I still feel like that I'm obligated to the industry to get more people out there. Again, I'm trying to figure out the future too. And like, I want to hire people. Well, I really don't have that opportunity around here. So the only best way for me to do that is to put my focus on the youth and all the energy, hopefully into possibly those universities. So I'm really trying to figure out what we can do. And IBO's got that. We got some classes coming out here soon too, for the industry, even if it's just the wrap designing. I mean, there's so many opportunities for even ad agencies to learn how to do wrap design. It's crazy. We've ran into that many times where the file is print ready, or, you know, that fun word print ready. From an ad agency that just soaked in like probably a $2,000 wrap design.
Yeah, sure, it's ready. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, there, just go print it. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see if we could even tap into those industries for classes and such, so we can get them educated, so it saves us time, and also for production and install. I mean, nothing worse than trying to figure out someone else's design and now we have to install it and make it look right on. So it's there's so many benefits from educating just from the ground up, from the design aspect, that I feel that we still can put in place and the industry still needs.
We're going to get there, but I want to pull some knowledge from you here because I heard something really interesting. We talked before about youth. So let's say that you are a wrap shop owner and you are thinking of bringing in some youth to help you out. You're going to teach that person how to rap. You're going to teach them all that you know about rapping. What qualities do you feel that person has to have?
Attention to detail, I feel, is the best one for the moment. I mean, if they're really eye to the ground, kind of like just really focused on what they're trying to do, the detail, attention to detail is like number one. But then the funny part is I've been seeing this a little bit. When we do Chrome deletes, that thing is actually got to be Chrome deleted. Mm-hmm. Where some kids or guys or people, I won't classify them, but they think they did a good job. And then we take it outside and you see little specks of Chrome everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then you got to redo it. And we've had this happen where you redo it maybe 3 times. But now it's like, where's their boiling point? So I have the people that come into the industry have to know that it's going to have to get redone. And your mind has to be focused even more when it gets redone. So it's almost a patience thing. So a person with detail and patience is like almost number one.
So details and patience.
Yeah. How do you see that?
I agree with you. What do you feel? I agree with you. But, you know, I was also going to ask you that for some reason I keep coming back to Karate Kid movie, Wax On, Wax Off.
Yeah.
On the pod, I don't know why, but...
Well, his name was Daniel for one.
Yeah, maybe so. But, you know, he had this all Wax On, Wax Off until he taught him some real moves, or they were actually moves in the beginning, but hey, yeah,
correct.
What is it you teach first?
You know, that's a good question, actually. I would instruct any young person to prep. You know, it seems like prepping is one of those things that people just kind of gaze over and go, okay, it was done. Mm-hmm. We've had it many times where I asked if the trailer was wiped off or prepped, and they go yes, and then I see streaks and everything else on it, and this is just a flat surface. So imagine a car with crevices and everything else that's got, you know, crumbs and things that are falling down. So I feel like the prepping is got to be like almost the dire need for the first beginning, like the wax on, wax off. Yeah, take the wax off. But so now we're karate kid experts, which is sweet. But no, I think a person really does need to know the prepping stages of that. And then also, it's kind of fun for me. I really think I got this from the Avery class, is before you go live, I think Justin taught me that, before you go live, do a little sample piece, do test out where that knife was could stick, or, and then, you know, see where it falls into place. So you feel comfortable wrapping it and going live.
Right.
And I think that's a good thing to do, to practice quickly, give yourself even just confidence, but also making sure the quality is there. And it only takes a scrap piece to do that, which is sweet. So if you can kind of get the small stuff down first and figure that all the small stuff, the big stuff obviously comes into play pretty easily. So that would be the second thing. I mean, cleaning it up and then working on the small craftiness, whether it's handles or mirrors or whatever it might be on the small side of it, and then just nailing those down, because obviously a door is a door. So it's not terrible. But
if I get you correctly, that means that you're first focusing on the cleaning, and then you go around a car and see all the tough spots, the spots that you're going to have to put some extra knowledge and energy on.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. And then I always educate my guys to, like, let's look at the inlay areas or the pre-inlay areas, just because I used to think vinyl should just pound in there with primer. Even 3M a long time ago, primer was like the thing to do. And that was kind of funny, especially when you had to remove it. But no, now I mean, just pre-inlaying and trying to smartly figure out where the vinyl should go first, and then going on top of that and kind of sealing the deal.
See, that's a strange thing, I think, also. That means that we used to do the things that we nowadays look at and think, oh man, we were so out of it. Which
yeah. And that's only, what, five years ago?
That means maybe? That we're in about 2-3 years' time, we're going to look back and think, we thought we knew what we were doing.
Right. Yeah, and that's, I mean, Simon, this is the coolest thing to be in, I think. You know, look at, we're actually developing as we go. And if we can educate the younger people, because they don't have a family yet or bills to pay as much. So to have them stay up late or whatever it might be and find a solution that might even solidify the answer for some of this stuff, even tools. I mean, these things are just getting better and better. The vinyls are getting crazier too. So I just feel like, once the younger generation comes up to plate and they actually are humble and know what they're doing, we're going to have some good weapons to hire, and it's going to be fun.
Since you're a business owner, but at the same time, you're an instructor, you get to see two sides of the same coin from different points of views. Where do you feel there's a cross line where the business owner doesn't really see the value as much as the instructor sees it? You get where I'm going with it?
A little bit. I got to back up a little bit. I actually technically don't own this company. I'm a manager now. So that gives me a little more free range with where I'm at. The company that hired me has a great platform. So I'm working with them, and then I'm also working with IBOW, and we're trying to figure out the instructor side of it. So that's that part of it. But I think what you're asking is, as far as from a time standpoint, is that what you're asking?
Well, let me put it this way. As a manager, you're managing people, you're managing your team, you're trying to get them the best knowledge they can get. But at the same time, you have to deliver on time, you have to deliver on quotes, you have a lot of responsibilities. Where from, as an instructor, you might think, well, let's teach these people, let's teach them how to do, let's instruct them, let's take the time. And there might be a line where they don't really meet up because you're putting too much time from both sides.
Yeah. So, yep. So first and foremost, I gotta be where I'm at and where I'm born in my craft. And that would be for the business. But as far as the passion goes and trying to develop, it's almost like if you had your kid on your side, you're like, you gotta let them know how to ride a bike. So I feel like some of those things, I just want to make sure that the industry has that ability to connect the dots with the vinyl. So I feel like if I answered that correctly, I'm not sure, but if I could give time away from the business and see if the business keeps going, then I'm doing a good job. So it's almost like when you do your business, you let your team work, and then you have to go outside your team and just keep the industry going. And then that'll strengthen your team because now you know the pluses, the minuses. If you come back to your shop and go, okay, that didn't work or this failed or something got miscommunicated, that actually works better for me sometimes because then I see those gaps that I need to figure out or fix. And then we can make a solid, you know, solid foundation right for our team. So that's kind of where I see it at least. That's in my head, I guess. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing to leave your team aside and make sure that those are guys are going good. But I don't just like ditch them or anything like that. Not even close. I see it as, so I went to Central Lakes College in Design, and that's a local college. So I'm giving back to the local college a little bit, and then we want to go to some other universities as well, possibly here, and kind of develop some of this stuff. So I can't say a lot of things because I don't have it right in front of me to promote for us. But I have a feeling that once our team is, which is, they're pretty self-sufficient right now, but they're like 25 years old on average. So they're pretty young still. So once I get them kind of, into a speedboat, or we'll just say a rowboat, by themselves, I can do more, I shouldn't say damage, but more education for our industry. And that's where my goal is in the next 3 to 5 years, for sure. Just to give back to our youth. Could you imagine going to college and knowing that this was available? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
Or would you get into it? Or how do you see that?
It's hard to say because life puts you in different places at different times. And I guess that when you look back, you see all the dots connecting. But when you are at it, going at it, you don't. So that means that, I don't know, maybe not. But I do know that I love where I am at the moment. And I wouldn't change it. But yeah.
Awesome.
But I think it would have saved me a lot of headaches. I mean, since you and I, we had to learn what we thought was the hard way. If someone would have been there before and told me, listen, try this, try that. Maybe I didn't do 10 mistakes. Maybe I did 7. But yeah.
Right. Yeah, and that's awesome. That's like learning from your peers. Yeah. And I
saves
feel
you
like
money.
If it does save you money. And it advances you so much faster. And that's where all these trainings and certifications and things like that are coming out there. I mean, 3M's got the most programs for that. They got the Dynoc, the Knifeless, the window film, the paint protection, and obviously like the 3M preferred program. So there's a lot of opportunity there. And then obviously you know more of the trainings too, but yeah, I got the Orifel's coming around. If I remember right, they got the Avery boot camp. So the sales side of it's coming around, and I just feel like there's time and a place for that too. If you don't have that training, but I'm a firm believer in training. If you can afford the time, which everyone should be able to, hopefully, and advance yourself, and that goes on design levels too. Are you a creative or are you an installer? Or what do you do?
I've had to do all of it.
Yeah, so how did you learn your background? Did you just kind of go from a whim and from the design side of it, or did you go from the install side of it?
It was all together in one piece, I guess. I'm not really a designer, but I know what works on a car. I know what's going to look good on a car, And that is through knowledge, through interest, and through messing it up and getting it wrong and trying to get it right. That's for me, at least. Since we're talking about lessons and all, is there something special you change your mind or your point of view in the last 2 years? Something that you thought was right, but now you see it differently?
Hell yeah. Knifeless is... That word is just like pure to my heart now, because what it is now I can actually trust anybody that uses it to put it on a vehicle. And now, say 4 or 5 years down the line, yeah, you know, when that vinyl is definitely time to remove, I don't have to worry about pulling off paint. Yeah. I've had that too many times where the removal comes to us and all of a sudden I'm pulling off clear coat or something. And now it's saying a bad word for the rap industry. And I just see it as, if you're young, you can learn knifeless, and that's just the proper technique. And then when it comes time to removal, because they're young, it'll happen. They're going to have to remove it. We have like so much higher standards of what that looks like now once you get a fresh vehicle after we remove it. I just feel like the knifeless side of it in the last 2 years has been increasing and increasing for the better for the industry. I actually, one of these events I went to, conferences, I was doing some knifeless training, demoing, I should say, not training. And these young kids were just picking it up and trying it. And it was just pretty cool. They're all like oohing and on, but I just showed them a quick demo and I took my blade out and I was going to cut right behind the door just to kind of like finish off the trim. And the kid goes, "Hey, why would you take your knife out there?" And he's like, I was like, "Oh damn, they're already like wanting to use more knifeless." I'm like, "Oh man, you're right. I don't need my knife there. I could have just threw a 9mm, knifeless around my door seams sometimes. So then I'd pull the middle one out and that way you don't have to touch it." But yeah, it was just cool to hear and see like, They're inspiring me to get better.
If you're not stuck into old ways of old habits, everything is possible.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the last 2 years, you were really just saying there's so many advancements now and so many other different things that are going on. And
what are you looking forward to?
Just being a part of the Rat family, really, to be kind of in that motion where, I'm so supportive of the industry that I will help. I'd love to help out anybody that either has a struggle point, or if I can, you know, assist, whether it might even be a travel install or something. I'm kind of maybe opening up more to that too. So I'm excited about, it's hard to say one thing because the vinyls, like we just mentioned, are just getting better. The industry's getting better. The tools are getting better. The trainings are just getting more open. And I kind of feel like I'm excited about the designs because they're getting more realistic. There's a few of them out there. I would say Skeppel and Fuse Design, and there's a few other people. I think the Alex over towards your area. Those are more like the rustic but real. And I think the realism of that design is going to showcase that airbrushing is possibly a little less needed. And I'm not pointing down airbrushing at all. That's a huge talent. But I think the creativeness of it can get a little more crazy. And that's what I love to see is the possibilities. Like we had this lady that wanted her Jeep to go like to in flames and all this other stuff. I'm like, man, I don't even know what that would cost to airbrush it. But let's just wrap it. And she was all about that.
Why not?
Right. So, yeah. How about, can I ask you that same question? What are you excited about the industry?
It feels that there's no ceiling.
Yeah.
It's endless. I don't know. I know when I started, what I thought was possible, we broke that like for about 7 or 8 years ago. It's crazy. I mean, it's just, yeah.
Isn't it fun though to know that there is no limits right now and it keeps advancing?
Just the thought of someone telling me, when I started my company like 13 years ago soon.
Congrats.
Someone would tell me 13 years back, listen, in 13 years, you're going to have a pod and you're going to be speaking to people all over the world that love rapping as much as you do. and there's going to be people listening to what you're saying.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's just, it just.
Yeah, I can't commend
I
you.
I wouldn't believe it.
I can't commend you enough, man. I seriously, you got all my respect. I got your back from Minnesota. If you ever come this way, there's a lot of trees, but I'll shave some things down for you. There's Paul Bunyan over here. We got to wear your plaid though. Plaid shirts are in. Camo and plaid are number ones over here.
It's been working.
I'm
guess there's no ceiling to it all.
That's right.
My way of seeing
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Yeah. And to be able to make sure that this world is small, and you definitely from, I mean, it's what, 10, almost 11 your place at night. And it's 3, it's 4 o'clock PM my place. And to know that we're in that gap level, but we're talking together about this industry, that's freaking sweet.
Goes to show that people love the business and we're doing, and I think it shows.
Right. No, 100% it does. And if it doesn't, then they don't deserve the industry. I think you've put probably more time in it, your business than I have so far. So, but I know that number one, you know where the fine line is if you don't deserve the industry versus you earn the industry. And right. There's people out there right now that they think they deserve the industry when they haven't quite earned it, which is fine because that'll come back around to them. But I think even say like the 3M preferred installers, there's people out there, and it's up to the 3M preferred installer to look at other installers as well, because we want to make sure that 3M preferred name is not sacred. Oh. Yeah. Just that boundary of quality is there. So it's kind of interesting. I overheard some people saying that if you're not doing a good job and you're 3M preferred, you still can get kicked out of the club, which is all in all probably a good thing. And I appreciate the quality level that we as installers and owners and developers are putting out there, because it's pushing each other really, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's a badge of quality, and quality is a fresh... It's fresh. You can have it as well as you can lose it. So,
and how do you feel about, I guess for me too, like for pricing, do you feel like quality should just pounce over pricing, or how do you feel about that over by you?
I feel that talk is always
sensitive.
It's always present. No, but it's not sensitive, but it's always present. And I think it's always going to be present in the business and in every other business. Price is always, it's always, it depends on how you promote yourself, what you're selling, what you want to achieve.
I think over in your area, would you say you're the highest price, or you're kind of middle, or have you price searched yourself around your area?
We are, for the company, we are not the cheapest. We are above normal.
Awesome.
But we are above normal for a couple of reasons, and it's up to us to always deliver on those reasons. And if we cannot deliver on those reasons, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, then we need to shape up.
Yeah, no, that's awesome to hear that.
You can pay, I don't know how much a burger costs in the States, but you can pay a McDonald's burger for a certain amount of price, as well as you can go and pay three times as much for a burger that tastes different. It's both are burgers, but it's a different thing.
Yeah, I usually relate it to fast food or restaurants, and we're no fast food here. So, for sure. I mean, I actually like that there's people out there that are less expensive or cheap, because it shows. And I always like to kind of go around town and look at some other people's stuff. And I'm not trying to degrade by any means anybody. I just like to see where the standard levels are for them. And then I'm really never satisfied in a good way with my quality work and what we put out. So I'm really trying to make sure every project is a step better. And I think that really pounces on the projects with what we do and what we promote, and the good word comes out. So we're not a destination location. We're actually really hard to find, which is actually pretty fun. Do you have a storefront?
Yeah, not at the new shop.
Okay. So you're more of a destination location than two.
Yeah, right? There's no drop-ins, no. There's no people walking by.
Don't you feel that that's way more productive in the long run?
Well, that means that we don't have to have someone that always takes care of customers coming by just because they saw something in the window.
Right.
We don't have that need.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I mean, there's distractions to that point, but in a way of being good at your craft and being able to have people find you can actually better your quality of what you're hoping for and do.
I mean, we were talking a little bit before, and you said that when we're talking about working at dealerships, that if you really want to get a good rep done, you need to be focused on what you're doing. And it's right. hard to be focused if the phone is ringing or if you have to keep talking to customers because they keep dropping by and you are the one that's supposed to talk to the customers. So I think all that matters. But for some businesses, it works good. For some, it doesn't. It's so personal. I don't know. But yeah.
No, and I like your aspect of how you think of the whole industry too. Obviously with your knowledge and stuff, I see that you must have, did you plan to be a little bit further out or not, like more of a destination location?
It just turned out that way, really.
Oh, cool.
And we needed a cheap shop, cheap location, and it turned out awesome. It was further away than everything. So you know what I wanted to get back to as well is the instructor side of it all, because we haven't really talked that much about it. And as an instructor or getting to become an instructor, what is it that you see with the business that you think we need to work more at it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess what I see is really inspiring, you know, this young youth generation to get more involved with just wraps in general, meaning from the design side, the sales side, the installation side, and kind of an all encompass for the industry. So it doesn't matter exactly where you're at in the place, but if you can inspire the youth more and more and more and try to even help a person out, like we had a guy that come in and he wanted to wrap his hood. And to be honest, like I he was a younger kid and I'm like, oh, you just wanted to do this yourself? He's like, yeah, I just kind of saw it and I wanted to kind of figure it out. So what I did was I'm like, okay, I'm curious on what he was hoping for. So what I did was I sold him the vinyl and I actually went over to his garage and wanted to see what he was doing and how he would attack it. And I just really wanted to see how he's inspired by just how the application works. And he did pretty decent. But
so is he working with you?
He's not yet. Nope. He's still pretty young. He's actually got some school and stuff to work on. So I encourage him to go that route. But again, it's just trying to inspire these younger people that want to do it. That gives them the passion, that gives them the desire, and then let them kind of figure it out a little bit on their own too, because it really is like putting a guitar in front of somebody. You can't just like teach them like, here, try this out and then go ahead. So you really want to kind of put the instruments, the tools in front of them, see if they'd want to do it. And if they're willing to do it and learn, then you might have spiked the industry a little bit more with that person.
Cool. I want to be respectful of your time. So I have a couple more questions. And the first one that I would like to ask you then is, what's coming up for you now in the future that you can tell us? I know there's a lot of hush hush probably, but what you can tell us, what's going on in Dan's life in the future?
Well, we're growing. I mean, we're always focusing on growing our team. Again, I said, I think we need at least one more designer. We actually need a couple of installers. And one of our outlets, we have 8 store location fronts that we can get in front of on the accessories and graphic side of it. So I'm very excited to see once we get our team figured out and evolved where we can push that. That's just a base platform for Max Mills Auto Extreme. But as far as an overall approach to excited for and getting into the industry, but I it is kind of tough because I don't want to ruin anything or say anything too far, but these classes that are going to be performed to the youth community are and will, I feel in my heart, are going to make our industry grow, whether it be the design, sales, install, or just the procedure of the wrap. I feel like we're gonna find some of these cool people that just love what we're doing, how we're doing it, and grow their side of it too. And I can't wait to hire some of these people that once we start that seed for them to see what they can do for us. So it's kind of a give, take, love, hate, but I love to see what these younger people that have talent, get them out of the weeds and get them into the rap industry.
Sweet. Some quick fire questions here. What would you love to rap? No, sorry. What would you love to rap that you still haven't gotten your hands on?
Actually, today I just flew in a open cockpit, just like an old plane. It was in town for the day. It was $80 for a ride for 10 minutes. I'm like, man, this would actually be fun to rap. So I guess a plane would be kind of cool. I think, was it Raphael or somebody said?
Yeah, tank. That's all in the South Challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think a plane is still on my list for a to-do. Either that or a submarine.
Why haven't I thought of that one? That was a good one. Summer.
You know, put a shark face on it and really make it cool.
Some people don't miss it, you mean. Right.
Can I ask you that too? I just feel like I gotta get a little more personal with you, and I know I'm gonna respect your time too, Simon, but what's one of those featured ones that you would wanna want? What's one of your go-tos that you're hoping for rapping?
Man, you just inspire me. I'm gonna say Summer in there as well.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, wouldn't that be kind of cool?
That would be completely different. I don't even know how to tackle that one, but there's going to be a way. There has to be a way to do it.
I guarantee there's going to be a knifeless or two somewhere on it. I don't know. I'll figure it out.
I wouldn't cut that thing nowhere, no. I wouldn't dare to do that.
But
the insurance would be too deep on that one.
Right. Yeah. Actually, I have some quick fire ones after you do some of these for me.
Okay. All right. So let's tell you what, we go a couple more here and then you tell me yours. So I usually always ask this in hopes that someone's going to tell me something different that I often get. And that is, what is your go-to tool at the moment?
Actually, I will give you something different because I've heard some of these podcasts and I think some of these people could agree with this, is my 250 lumen headlamp.
Oh,
because what it is, like the truth, it's like the lie detector when you're like, oh, I can't see chrome or I can see chrome, and that thing will shine back at you. And it's always dark in the shop no matter what, but I will say knifeless is best too. I hate to sidebar, but yes, the headlamp's always good to have with you. For me, at least. I don't wrap outside, so I don't have a full daylight or anything like that, but it's definitely worth the investment to have good lighting.
I agree. So next one would be then, what project are you most proud of?
Ah, man. Everyone that I get an opportunity for, I guess, is a good answer for me. But no, it kind of relates back to a project I did 2 years ago, just because I did it for one of the main reasons was for my grandpa. I spent about a year design to do it. It's a Patriot, like thank you to the vets.
A Corvette, before, right?
Yeah, it was a Mustang. Yeah. So
yeah, I saw that one.
So it was kind of, it just had a whole bunch of just, you know, detailed photos and stuff, and then I had signatures of the people that either are serving or have served in the military and the army and stuff. So I just felt like it kind of hit home for me, and it just made people cry. Some people cry when they saw it, and I just think it's cool to see what an effective rap can do. And not cry in a bad way, you know, like, oh, that's sad, like bad paint job or something, but like the effectiveness that it brought on to the patriotism. And yeah, it was just kind of neat to see people, like how it affected their, yeah, their day in a good way.
Sweet. All right, Dan, those were that.
So I'm going to mirror reflect you, if that's okay. What's one of your craziest raps that you've done that you feel is crazy?
crazy in what it was or crazy in the way it turned out?
The crazy as far as like you probably won't do it again crazy, but you thought it was it turned out good.
Wow.
Like,
man, you know, the strange thing of it all is that I've asked this question, I don't know how many times, but I haven't really reflected on myself. Wow. It's good that I get to edit this out so I can cut out all the pause while I'm thinking. Wow, man. Well, Jesus. I'm thinking, and for whatever reason, I'm going blank.
That's okay.
You know what? What I would like to have happened to me again is actually my experience, even though I appreciate it so deeply and so profoundly, is my experience with my first rep.
Mm-hmm.
It took me, I'm not lying to you, it took me 7 hours to do a wheelhouse. I had to redo it like 20 times. Oh, and I was doing it with an Avery, I would think it was Avery in 700 series back then. So it's a vinyl that's not really made for rapping.
Yep.
I can always, my gut, my stomach just turns inside out every time I think about it. But the important thing of it all is that I decided from that moment after 7 hours is that I need to talk to someone that's done this before. I need to go to some form of, I need to get an instructor. I need to sort this out. And that's the first thing I did after that is that I search for classes. And yeah, I found that one. I found one in Holland, actually, in the headquarters of Avery.
Oh, really?
So I flew from Sweden to Holland for a 3-day.
Did it help you, advance you?
Oh, man. What was the experience there? It was night and day.
And how many years were you doing it prior to that when you went to that class? How many years were you in?
The thing was that I was doing easy surfaces. I was doing windows. I was doing shops, but I hadn't really gotten into the wrapping side of it all. So this has to be approximately 2007. Yeah, 07, 08, something like that. Yeah, no, sorry. 08 was it. Yeah. I thought wrapping was easy. I looked at it. I was that cocky young guy that looked in some YouTube videos and thought, hey, man, it looks easy. So I went out and I sold a wrap, which I wasn't able to finish. So yeah.
And what color was that? What color, Avery?
It was a simple blue. And don't ask me why. Yeah, for some reason I didn't buy the wrapping vinyl, the 900. I bought the 700. Don't ask me why.
Because you're cocky.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean. It's,
yeah, but I learned a lot.
And and that's I kind of have to say I commend you for that, even trying without wrap film. That's something here from what I know in the States, at least, people are not even trying, where I think you guys capitalize it overseas, wrapping with solid adhesives. And
it's just a different way of wrapping. It's just a different
method. Yeah, I would think so. I mean, do you guys just do solid like gold squeegee or with a app tape on it, or how would you even wrap with just solid adhesive?
You need to have tension and you need to read the vinyl differently. But wait, I gotta be honest, we're doing it very, very on extreme cases nowadays. It's just, I myself feel there's no use. Right. If you have a wrapping vinyl, why even try? I mean, it's fun to put a cocky rapper with that vinyl so that they see how difficult it can be. So
maybe we should do that with the younger generation just because. Say, here you go, son.
I don't know. But hey, yeah, but that's.
Do you think if we learned how to wrap with solid adhesives, the wrap film is a little bit easier for the general public?
Well, it's the business has gone forward, evolution and technology wise and material. Now everyone can stick vinyl onto a surface, and it can look sometimes pretty okay and sometimes horrible. But I mean, channels has changed the game.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, and repositionable adhesive also as well. It's all evolving, but you still need knowledge.
Right.
I mean, knowledge is what allows you to cut down on time on applications, allows you to, you come in, when you talk to someone that knows what they're doing, it comes through.
And
it comes through and it shines.
And I agree with trying to read the vinyl. That's something that you really don't know what that means until you actually start applying vinyl. It's almost, that's almost kind of hard to train somebody into a point like, yeah, just read the vinyl. That's like, you don't know English, go read a book. So to try to train people how to like say the words before you kind of speak it and teach it. So that's something too with training and teaching I've learned too a little bit, is going with the smaller applications and really try to let them figure those smaller applications. You're not really losing too much vinyl either when you do that. I have like a couple side mirrors here that I try to practice on, and vice versa, I have the guys practice on. And it's just one of those things that kind of keeps your mind in ease, what way is the vinyl trying to tell you to go. And even like when we overstretch or stretch, pre-stretch, I just think that that's a good thing to learn. That way we don't have to go to the field and go, oh crap, you already know that you overstretch it or pre-stretch it. You should pre-stretch some spots. So it's kind of cool to see when you have it there for like a week and just to see what the vinyl did, if you have the opportunity.
And we even talked about it in the beginning. There's from my standpoint, there's really one way to learn, and that is by, you can learn, or two ways. You can learn by other people's mistakes, but there's also the way that I think it's most effective is by your own mistakes, and not only doing the mistake, but also reflecting, okay, what did I do? What happened? What do I need to change? And sometimes you, as a beginner, you don't really understand why things happen. That's why it's good to have people around you that know that know a bit more, that can tell you, that can explain you, listen, this is a monomeric vinyl, this is that, this happened. That's where knowledge comes in.
Right.
And but yeah, I feel that you need to be able to mess up to learn.
No, 100%. Actually, some of our commercial accounts that are around town, I like to just go check our work out too. And there's some spots, I'll be honest, man, that they failed. I mean, we got some crazy weather around here. I mean, it gets negative 30 and, you know, it's 90.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of variations. So yeah, there's areas where it either pops or cracked. And I call it out, try to call it out before our customers do, and say, hey, I owe you this or this. I'd like to fix it as soon as I can. Just because it's our name on there too. The one thing that I've seen is some local shops won't stand behind their work as much. And that's something that we really want to pride ourselves in. If it does fail or if it's failing, I want to know immediately, because those people are out there trying to find my work just as much as what I am finding their work. And so I want to make sure that our quality is up to par. And if I fix it, that's still me fixing it and doing my job. And if I don't fix it, then I feel like I slap them in the face and I'm just like another person down the street. So I guess as far as the rap industry goes, really just trying to own up with our quality level. As we just mentioned, it's crazy, but the techniques, the tech and the technology have changed the last 2 years. So if it does pop, just own it, man, and like try to fix it. And be the best you can with communicating with your customer, because that's going to, even though you might have lost there, they're going to come back. If they're a successful business, they're going to definitely come back to you, which is awesome. And I just really like to have open communication with our customers and clients. So then they'll tell us whatever they have to. And sometimes it's something where you like overwrap it, or I overwrap it, or anything like that. You're like, oh, you know what? I probably didn't even need to wrap it there, you know? Right. And so there's something that's pulling up and you're like, huh, if I would have just trimmed it back there, and that's just on the learning side of it. And then putting, what we like to do is we'll put like a black trim, like just solid
right, to hide it.
Yeah, to hide it. And it looks like molding sometimes. You know, they did have mold, they do have molded hold too, but the adhesive's a little, it's not quite as strong as some of the, like, I just get 7125 cut down into strips and like have my own pinstriping, matte pinstriping. And that usually works really good for sealing off those areas. And then I educate the customer too, like, hey, this is where this is trimmed. This is this. So if you have like snow, rain, dirt, dust, you know, anything like that, that strip is going to take it. It's almost like a silicone strip for the vinyl, more or less, you know? So that's right. Replaceable for me. I can easily replace that for free. And now the wrap's protected. And so if we can preset some of those, make sure you knifeless first and then preset those with those strips, I feel like the quality level from a commercial side of it, for sure, even if it has color change, I mean, black isn't necessarily just a cop-out. It's meant for, I mean, you see it in construction. There's trim board around places. It just finishes it off. So if we can educate the people that way too, it's not a negative. It's just for quality and also appearance, it looks really good.
I agree. You know what, Dan? I usually tend to let people leave some words of wisdom for the wrapping world, but you just left a lot of good wisdom there in that last paragraph. So I feel that I gotta say thank you. I feel that thank you for being so openly. Thank you for also letting me share my part of a bit of my part of the story. And
yeah, I love hearing other stories, and I can't commend you enough. I appreciate all the time, energy, focus that you put into this podcast, not just mine for sure, but I definitely appreciate that. But all of the podcasts prior and the future ones that you're going to be evolving, you're doing one damn good job. I hope to see you at SEMA. And
me
if
too.
You're going anywhere else, let me know. And no, I will wear the Wrap Pod shirt when I buy one here soon.
You'll get them. Don't worry about it.
But hopefully sooner or later we'll travel your way or vice versa. If anyone, this will be, I guess, because I'm really new at the podcast, but if anyone sees the opportunity to inspire the youth, I would say it's the best investment, and it's probably not even that much time for you. Say you even have scraps in your shop. Maybe make those shop scraps someone's dream. Like some kid's dream, like they might have an opportunity to play with this stuff. So think of all the scraps you're throwing away. Maybe go to your school or go somewhere and see if they have an opportunity to put some wraps on. So it doesn't take a lot to inspire some people. So I would encourage anybody to try to do that.
So on that level, Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wish you a nice afternoon, and thanks for taking your time, and I hope to see you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Simon.
Bye.
Have a good day.